When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you. Ask, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" At the very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, illnesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, and those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." Dear God, thank you for David and all the preaching he has done. Please can you help him, please can you give him your peace and confidence as he preaches today. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Alex, that was great, and love that, the Claytons. And as you can see, we're doing something a bit different today. My daughter Amy's here with me, and her and Lila, my other daughter, I've asked them and their friends a few questions about this passage. It's always a great thing to do. And we're going to take some time. They've fed those back into me earlier this week, and I've been reflecting on them, and I'm going to use those as a springboard for our sort of the talk I want to share this morning. Not got a chance to answer all those questions, but we'll answer some of them. So, Amy, over to you for the first question.
Well, actually, two of our young people asked similar questions, which are kind of connected. So, the first one is, how is what Jesus says and does an answer to what Jesus is asking him? And the other one is, what signs were they looking for to know that the one was the one?
Great. Well, it's so helpful because it gets us straight into this passage, which was just read for us. But in Luke 7:20, we see the question that John asks. He says this, he sent these men and they came and said to Jesus, "John the Baptist sent us to ask you, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" There was this great sense of expectation. And I guess many of us can relate to that with the match tonight. I know I've never seen England in a World Cup final. I do remember my first World Cup that I really clearly remember in 1982, which Italy won. So I'm very excited for some of our Italian friends that we're also playing in there. Either win will be great. But I have to say, in England, there's this huge sense of expectation, this longing. We've been waiting. I think, is it kind of 55 years or so we've been waiting? And you know, in this passage, they've been expecting and waiting and longing for something for way, way, way longer. In fact, all through the Old Testament, there's been this sense that someone was going to come who was going to help make things right again. Just after we saw brokenness came into our world, there's this promise that one's going to come who's going to help sort it out. And all the way through the Old Testament, you see that building. In fact, this kind of theme of the kingdom of God runs through the Old Testament. Graham Goldsworthy, a great writer, in his book Gospel and Kingdom, he writes this. He says that the kingdom of God is God's people in God's place under God's rule and blessing. That's the kind of theme of the kingdom. And what we see in the Old Testament is you get kind of is there in a kind of pattern. It's there, it kind of promised, and then it's there kind of prophesied, but we have to wait and wait and wait for this actual new king, this new kingdom that was going to come and put everything right, that was going to come and restore and make things new, this one who was going to come and rescue. And so one of the things we see, and we've seen in this bigger and better story series that we've been looking at, is how we've seen that there's kind of a better leader to come. There's a better temple. There's a better promise. There's a better king. And it's not just that there are some kind of prophecies here and there. The whole of the Old Testament points to this. And actually, about 600 years before Jesus came, there was a kind of string of prophecies. And Isaiah has some of the most kind of famous ones. You might recognize some of these. I wonder, Amy, can you read this? We sometimes read it at Christmas, but it's not just for Christmas. This is one of those prophecies.
Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever.
So there's this new king who's going to come. And then later on in Isaiah, we have this in Isaiah 35. Maybe particularly helps us with this passage.
Isaiah 35, verses 5 and 6. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy.
Great. Do you want to read Isaiah 61 as well? Jesus has already quoted this earlier in Luke chapter 4.
The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor.
So there have been these kind of promises, and not just these, but kind of whole stories that pointed to Jesus coming. In fact, Jesus, when he had risen from the dead, he said in Luke 24, 27, these are amazing words. He was walking with his disciples, and then Luke records that they kind of referred to it like this. He says, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he, Jesus, explained to them, these two disciples, what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. So this kind of sense of expectation had been building and building and building. And so John is asking this question: are you the one we are expecting, or should we expect someone else? And Jesus answers by talking about some signs. He says, look, this is what he says in verse 21. We see, at that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Jesus is saying, look, John, you know the word of God. You know the prophecies. You know the Old Testament. You know the signs. And these miracles that are happening now. And if you look back in Luke chapter 7, you can see some of the things that Jesus has just done. He's just healed a sick child. He's just raised a widow's son from the dead. Jesus is doing these very things. And so he says, look, John, these are signs that point to me. These are signs that show that I am the Christ, the long-awaited Messiah, the King who was to come. And so he knew that John would have known those signs, and he points John to them. But you see, it's not about the signs, that they're not the main point. The signs point to Jesus. He's the main point. As I've been preparing this, I've just been thinking how wonderful it is that this King, this one who all of our hope and confidence can be in, has come into the world. Jesus, the one who's at the center of the story. You know, whatever problems you are facing right now, whatever challenges we are facing in our world, and we're facing some massive challenges. You know, you think about the global pandemic that we're very much still in. You think about the social injustices that still kind of ravage our world. You think about the climate crisis, that you know, these problems that are actually far bigger often than we like to acknowledge. And yet one of the things is that even as we look to address these and bring our kind of words and our work into them, yet we can actually do that with hope because Jesus has come. Because his coming brings hope to everyone, anywhere. And his hope, his coming brings healing and restoration in our world in an amazing way. I love the way the Jesus Storybook Bible puts it. It puts it like this. In the Jesus Storybook Bible, which I love, it says Jesus was making the sad things come untrue. He was mending God's broken world. That's what Jesus came to do. He was mending God's broken world. And I think that brings very nicely onto this next question, Amy, which I think is one of yours.
Does Jesus physically heal people in this day and age?
Wow. That's a really key question, because so many of us know people who are not well. In fact, I think you're just out of self-isolation yourself from one of your friends, Amy, having COVID. You know, it's not easy, is it, when we ourselves are sick or when those we know and love are sick? So that's one of the reasons this is such an important question. And you know, God made us in an amazing way. God made us with bodies that, with rest, it's amazing the kind of healing that can come to our bodies. But God also made us with amazing minds that have been able to come up with some of the wonders of modern medicine. And I'm so thankful for the doctors and nurses in our church for the amazing way they've been serving during this COVID time. I'm so thankful for the vaccines that have actually helped so many get through this time. But you know, there are times when, even with rest or with modern medicine, that we still find that the doctors are you know, not able to bring the healing that is needed. And even with those things, one of the amazing things we see in the Bible is it encourages us to pray for those who are sick, to be able to bring those who are not well to God in prayer. And so, amazingly, what we see here in Luke 7 is Jesus, the King, who's come and brought in this new kingdom that's going to bring healing and restoration at this time, more than anything that's before, and even anything that's after. We see in a concentrated space of time, just amazing miracles after another, after another, after another. Jesus, you know, healing the sick and raising the dead and curing the lepers, and giving sight to the blind. And what's staggering is that they happen around Jesus, but Jesus also kind of says, look, this is kind of ushering in a new era. You know, the king has come, and there's a new kingdom now which is breaking out. This new kingdom where he encourages his disciples, and many of us were reading in the Bible in 1 year in the book of Acts how Paul went to Malta and he cured someone, he healed them, and then somebody else, the kind of news spread and more people came who were sick and he healed them too. Amazing kind of testimonies in the early church and even around the world today of God working in healing. I was thinking about the football again, a bit on my mind like it might be for many of you. And one of the things that I really was inspired by in the match last week when England played Denmark is the Danish team, I thought, played really well. And they'd been very inspired by a struggle in the group games. They had a quite significant kind of trauma where one of their members, one of their teammates, Christian Eriksen, had collapsed on the pitch with a heart attack. Thankfully, he recovered. He is making good progress. But one of the people who wished him well was a famous footballer called Fabrice Moumba. And Fabrice, a number of years back, in a key match, it was a FA Cup match, when he, who played for the Bolton Wanderers, his heart stopped during a match, and for 78 minutes... it was uncertain whether he would survive. His heart had stopped beating for 78 minutes. And he gave an interview sometime afterwards to the Sun newspaper about his recovery. And this 24-year-old devout Christian said, "What happened to me was really more than a miracle." And I remember the front pages of the newspaper, which were kind of like, you know, a miracle, answered a prayer. It was amazing. He said this, "I am walking proof of the power of prayer. For 78 minutes, I was dead, and even if I lived, was expected to have suffered from brain damage. But," he said, "I am very much alive and sitting here talking now. Someone up there was watching over me, and on the morning of the game, I prayed with my father and asked God to protect me, and he didn't let me down." Hallelujah. And his face just radiates with Christ and faith. But you know, not everyone who's had a heart attack has a miraculous recovery. You know, I've known some very real grief and loss in sickness in my own wider family. And I'm sure many of you have too. But one of the things that we see in the Bible is that this kingdom that's been breaking out since Jesus came, it's actually kind of a foretaste of something even more full to come. Let me kind of explain it a bit like this. You know how in February and March, we occasionally have those kind of really sunny days, and everyone kind of gets their shorts on, even though it's kind of February time, and people are so excited, and they kind of think, oh, you know, kind of summer's come, but it hasn't, because it's February and March. And then it's often followed by some kind of rain, cold, windy kind of beast from the east. I remember one time we even got snow around Easter time. And yet, that was kind of a foretaste of summer. The real thing was coming. Those times when the temperatures stay up high and the weather is good. And in a similar way, what we see now and what we've seen since the time of Jesus' first coming in this bigger and better story is that this is a foretaste of when we will fully see a time that is coming when Christ returns, when all things will be restored and renewed. Jesus says there'll be no more sickness. No more death. That time is coming. The kingdom in all of its fullness. But even now, that kingdom is kind of breaking out. When we pray, as Jesus taught us to, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're praying, God, would your kingdom break out? Your kingdom that brings healing and hope and help to people. And so as a church, that's what we sought to do. I can very much relate to a quote that I heard that John Wimber once said about their church. He said this, when we prayed for no one, no one was healed. But when we prayed for lots of people, some were healed. And that's been our experience here. We love to pray for people who are sick, or to say, hey, can we pray for your, you know, for others that we know. You know, I've been so blessed just thinking back even this week as I've been thinking about this passage of people that we've prayed for. Some haven't responded, but some have. You know, some haven't got healed, but others have seen amazing breakthrough. I think of a couple we prayed for who weren't able to have kids. Tried everything. Been years. And they came and said, could we please pray into this? It was a big, bold move for them to come and ask. And yet we prayed, and very soon after that, like amazingly, they had this wonderful gift of a child. Now, I know that's not everyone's situation or circumstance to get a breakthrough like that, but it felt such an encouraging, amazing answer to prayer. I've known times when we've prayed, even as a church recently, for a very young child who had a very serious heart condition. Many of us, even during these kind of COVID times, were just praying for this family. And amazingly, not just this child who it was touch and go whether they'd survived, not just did they survive, but God helped them through some serious major surgery. And they thought it was going to be a long-term problem, but the signs and the prognosis were, like the doctor said, almost a miraculous recovery. Praise God. God is able to do more than we can imagine. And so I want to encourage us this morning, allow God to build your faith. We're not in heaven in kind of that full completed kingdom yet, but God is doing more than we can imagine as we trust in him. So Amy, next, last question, I think.
What does this mean for us?
What does this mean for us? Well, one of the things that's amazing about Luke chapter 7 is that the people that Jesus mentions, you know, they're the ones that people often kind of ignored or excluded. They were often felt people who felt forgotten. And yet Jesus, he comes to them and he brings them hope and help. That the people who maybe kind of thought, does God really love them? Is God really for them? They were the people that Jesus particularly said, look, there's a sign here that the king has come, because this king doesn't forget these people. And if you're listening to this and you feel like maybe God's forgotten you, or you know people who might think maybe God's forgotten them, you know, I know that sometimes in our kind of, for our young people, a lot of their friends, some of the issues are to do with, you know, anxiety or panic attacks or self-harm. And these things aren't necessarily mentioned in this passage, but Jesus is one who can come and bring help and hope for them. You know, sometimes if one of your friends is struggling, it can really help to do what the messengers from John were kind of told to do. Jesus says to them, go back and report to John what you've seen and heard. You know, go and tell your friends, look what you've seen and heard that Jesus is able to do. You know, go and one of the things we can do is we can pray for them. You know, we can pray and say, would you like me to pray for you? Or even if they haven't asked for it, we can at our homes pray that God would be working. And if you're struggling, even right now, if you're struggling, then you can ask for prayer. Ask for God to come and help you. One of the wonderful things we see in the Bible is people who kind of called out to Jesus saying they wanted help. And you can call out and ask for help. And, you know, God can help through prayers, but he also does help us through doctors. So if you're sick, do make the most of the amazing medical profession that God has given us to. But perhaps you're thinking, well, how do I know God cares even for me? Or my friend is actually, they don't really even believe in God. How do I know God cares for them? Well, one of the amazing things that we see in the Bible, that the place even where the biggest healing for our world happens is also something that we see in this kind of bigger and better story. We see in this story that the good news, the gospel accounts, the gospel of Luke, it actually isn't just about the amazing way this kind of hero, this prince of heaven steps into the scene and brings kind of healing and life. Amazingly, a lot of the gospel, the good news, is focused on the hero's death. You know, why would the good news be so focused on the hero at the center of the story's death? Well, again, if you look back in the Old Testament, you hear some amazing things about this one who was to come. Like in Isaiah 53, verse 5, we read this. But he was pierced, he, this one who was to come, this king, this servant king, was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. By his wounds we are healed. Jesus Christ took my sin and sickness and death upon himself on the cross when he suffered and died in my place. And so he broke there on the cross the power of sin and the power of sickness and the power of death. And through his suffering, through his wounds, we are, through his death, we are forgiven and made whole. The ultimate outworking that will come in that full, final kind of kingdom of God, when there will be no more sickness, no more death, that will be done because of the victory that Jesus won. And all over the world, people, even 2,000 years later, are celebrating that victory. They're celebrating what Christ has done, what the victory he's won. And so, you know, though the story doesn't end there on his death, 3 days later he rose again. We're hearing more about that. And his kind of message and his presence is still transforming our world. And as we've said, one day he'll bring a complete end to sickness and death. But now, for you and I, what can we do? Well, we can respond in faith. We can see this Jesus, the one who does these amazing things, the signs that point to who he is. We can see his death and know that he loves us and cares for us, and that by his wounds, we and others can be healed and made whole. And we can see his victory, his resurrection, that gives us hope that nothing is impossible for God. One of the great expressions of faith is prayer. And so I want to just pray for us now, and then there'll be a chance as we continue to worship, if you would like prayer and you're listening online, to connect with our prayer room online. And actually the youth, Lila and Amy, are going to lead us in some prayers as well. The youth have prayed for where they want to see God to bring change and breakthrough in our world. But let me start with a prayer, and it's up here on the screen so that you can echo this prayer with me. Let's pray together, wherever you are. Let's come to King Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. The words for this prayer that God put on my heart are on the screen, and whether you're at home or in the building, why don't we pray this out loud? Even though you're here in the building with your mask, you can speak and pray out loud. If you feel able, do join me. King Jesus, thank you for dying for me on the cross. Thank you for all the blessings of your kingdom that flow to me and through me to others because of what you have done. I believe you're at the center of the story, that your death gives me and anyone, anywhere, hope. I ask now for your healing and help for me and those I know who are struggling. And I look forward to the day when sickness and death are no more. In your name, amen.